into a Chazar Shir. I'd like to do with you tonight is to continue where we were up to. We were in the middle of Dr. Apfel, Rabbi Apfel's Shir, about halachic issues of medicine that come up on Shabbos. If I'm not mistaken, the last thing that we spoke about was Lev Yodei Amaras Nafsho, the fact that the Chola himself has a right to say, listen, I'm not feeling well, even if the doctors don't really think that he's ill, but still will be Mechal Shabbos, because that's what the Chola says.
Still, who will be Mechal Shabbos?
What?
Still, who will be Mechal Shabbos?
We will be Mechal Shabbos. There are times that some of the poskim say, if you don't see anything at all noticeable on the Chola, some will tell the Chola, okay, if you want it, you go and do it yourself. But even that is not really done. Many poskim hold that it's always permitted. It's always permitted to tell the Chola that will be Mechal Shabbos for him. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman assumed, against what is sometimes told. Now, we also last time mentioned, I believe, that the idea that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch about that we follow a mumcha, there's a conflict between doctors. We follow the doctor that's most expert. So mumcha, in this context, doesn't mean the doctor who has the better reputation necessarily. It doesn't mean the doctor who is the most renowned. Rather, mumcha might mean the doctor who has greater specialty in this area. Right, so if it's a shot about gynecology, obviously a pediatric cardiologist does not really have a daya on those types of issues. What Rabbi Apfel then did is he segued into what he called the Slifkin issue. Now, we know that there was this whole hullabaloo, how do you say it? Hullabaloo around probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago. The books of Natan Slifkin were put into Chayrim. And what exactly the issue over here is the conflict between science and halacha. And Dr. Apfel had a very nice presentation of this issue. You see, it's relevant for us in Hilchos Shabbos as well. You know, when we gave in the Mekoros, so on the second page of the Shmir Shabbos, gives a list of Mekoros, of cases that are definitely chola sheish b'sakana. So one of them is a maka begav hayad, right? You have a blister in the back of the hand. Doctors, I think today, would tell you, you have a blister in the back of your hand, put on the band-aid. Right? You put on the band-aid, that's it. So why are we assuming that this is mamish chol Shabbos? Technically, you can be mechal Shabbos for this. That's how we paskin. What's going on? So to a certain extent, this question reopens that box about contradictions between science and halacha. And there are two basic approaches that are taken. Tosis in the few Masechtas, notably there's a Tosis in Moed Katan about the status of fish that have been outside for a few days, and Tosis says, Nishtanu hatva'im, even though Chazal say that old fish are healthier for you, but already by the time of Tosis, the old fish could kill you. Nishtanu hatva'im. That's one approach. Rav Avram ben Arambam has a different approach. When Rav Avram ben Arambam said that Chazal were only speaking based on the science that was available at their time, they're speaking based on the information that they had, and consequently, if we have different information, so we're not disagreeing with Chazal, we're disagreeing with the scientists who Chazal were based on. That is the approach of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam. And the question, the whole Slifkin controversy, largely is, which approach is dominant? What's the mainstream approach? And Rabbi Apfel has in his Makoros that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is calling the Sefer Shmiras HaGufa HaNefesh, that you should only quote the position of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam as a Yesh Omrim. In other words, that the dominant shita is the shita of Nishtanu HaTva'im. That is the general approach. So the question is what he called the question of presentation. Right? Avada, there are two different shitos. The question is, which shita do I quote Stam, and which shita do I quote as Yesh Omrim? Now, there are a few other things that we could say about these issues. First of all, there's a famous Chazon Ish that Rav Shechter sometimes quotes. The Gemara, the beginning of Avodah Zarah, tells us that the entire world is going to be 6,000 years. 2,000 years are going to be Torah. What that means, the Chazon Ish says, is that all of the halachos that are dependent on Metzias might be dependent on Metzias that existed by the Alpayim Torah, which according to the Gemara is the year 1948. Right? 1948, which is the birth of Avram Avinu, Vesanesha also Bechoran, Zakhli Gemara. So that is when all of the halachos that are based on metzias were determined. So effectively, what we're saying is that halacha is kind of frozen. That's the shita of the Chazon Ish. Rabbi Apfel quotes a number of other shita. What? So the Apayim Torah goes roughly until the year 4000, right? But you know, it's the Torah was fixed. All the metzias was fixed at the year 2000. Right, the year 1948. Any halacha that's dependent on metzias, right, Rav Shechter mentioned the chabur when we learned Shabbos in the Kollel, that the question about cooking in microwaves, is that bishul min haTorah, is that bishul midrabbanan? That's a whole discussion. So the shaila might be about derech bishul, right? And it could be something that's not derech bishul. Rashi has a famous comment in Shabbos, it's heter gomor. Rav Shechter mentioned that it could be that even if most people will start cooking with microwaves at some point, which might be now already, that most people, maybe Rov Bishul is done by the microwave, certainly if you're Yeshiva Bachar, that's true. So it could be that it doesn't make it Derech Bishul, because the halacha of Derech Bishul, according to the Chazon Ish, is Nikva in the Alpayim Torah. And once those 2,000 years of Torah are over, so we can't be Koveya something as being Derech Bishul. That's an interesting approach that the Chazon Ish had. The Rav Moshe in a tshuva about the Gemara has a statement about the different testicles and which one makes you a Ptsua Daka, which one doesn't. So Rav Moshe said, listen, the doctors say that really there's no difference between the right testicle and the left testicle, no difference b'chlal. So Rav Moshe says, well, you know, you have to understand, sometimes when Chazal are speaking, they're speaking as Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. And other times when Chazal are speaking, they're not speaking as Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. They are just speaking based on the Metzias. Right? This is a difference. If you read the Rambam, when he describes Trefis by an Adam, is very different than the way the Rambam describes Trefis by a Behemah. Trefis by a Behemah is Yuchas Trefis Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Trefis by an Adam depends on what the doctors are saying. So again, you have to figure out, you have to learn each din very carefully to figure out which is in which category. Similarly, the stapler had the same type of idea. He didn't focus on Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai as much as he focused on when Chazal are darshaning from Psukim, but it ends up being roughly the same. Now, yeah, effectively. I mean, it's roughly the equivalent of Rav Moshe. Rav Cook has another interesting approach to this type of question. Rav Cook, it's on page 7 in the Rabbi Yaffel Mar Makomos, he writes, Koza inomol ela imnachot shedivri harufim hi muchzokim etzleinu kivadai. But all this is only true if we assume that what the doctor is saying is absolute. Avo be'emes nirah shedivrim b'chlal anu machzikim rachos safik. Shigam ba'atzmam i'av shesh yachziku divrim b'taris vadai. Shalofa'amim yesh echad v'gam rabbim menichim yisod musa b'chokhmas harfuah. Rabbim machlitim ha'dover l'dover emes. And then in another generation, they turn it over. M'meila, imkein, yesh l'chol divrim din safek. U'mash esom kan lein l'hakel b'isurim about Yom Kippur men Shabbos. That's only because it's a safek nefashos. That's a very interesting Rav Kook. In other words, every statement by a doctor we have to treat like a suffix. So avad, if a doctor says something is a suffix pekuach nefesh, right? It might be dangerous. The doctor thinks it's avad pekuach nefesh, but we translate it into our own terms. It means suffix pekuach nefesh. Okay, so you're saying it's suffix pekuach nefesh? Won't be mechal Shabbos is suffix pekuach nefesh. But if a doctor is saying that it's vade not pekuach nefesh, and Chazal say it is pekuach nefesh, so you know what? You have to do what Chazal say, because it still remains a suffix for koach nefesh, right? Chazal can't say it's vaday not koach nefesh. That they don't have the ability to create vados. That's what Rav Kook says. Rav Kook is speaking in the context of mitzitza. No, Chazal say that you have to do mitzitza by mila. Why do I have to do mitzitza? Right? So the Zohar has a reason, but according to the Gemara, it's because of some sort of suffix akana involved. What do you mean? The doctors say there's no suffix akana. Terence says the doctors don't have an emunus on this. Right? We're sorry. They ain't believed. So la halacha, the poskim, Shlomo Zalman paskins, in that context, in that quote in the Shmir Shabbos, that we are mechalal Shabbos, v'makon gav hayad. Why? different ways of saying it. Could be it's because of the Chazon Ish, or could be it's because of what Rav Kook is saying, that what the doctors are saying is only a suffix. But the fact is that Lamaisa, right, Lamaisa, we're going to be Mechal Shabbos for Gav Hayad. Now, another issue, another thing that we are Mechal Shabbos for that's worth discussing is high fever. Right, it says in Shulchan Aruch an expression to the effect of if the fever is very, very high. Makas chom o shemesh, a very high fever. And the Mishnah Brura quotes that what that means is typhoid fever. Okay, so that's a serious thing. Well, how high is high? Right? How high is high in terms of fever? So Rav Moshe Feinstein gave some shiurim. Rav Moshe said, well, for a kid, it's probably around 100. For an adult, it's around 101. These are 101 Fahrenheit, whatever that equals in Celsius. The Tzitz Eliezer was very uncomfortable giving shiurim. He says, first of all, you have to figure out what are we talking about. If it's a fever that comes from a cold, a fever that comes from some diagnosed thing, you know there's some internal infection. So, okay, but Kahai Gavna, why would you be Mechal Shabbos on that? You know what it's from. But if it's an undiagnosed fever, there's some low fever and you can't figure out what it's from, so then maybe you can be Mechal Shabbos for any amount of fever. He's not going to give a measurement. What Dr. Apfel said is that perhaps this issue about giving shiurim for fever or not should relate to what we spoke about way back when. Remember we had the case about turning off the car, the far-flung possibility that the motor is going to blow up. Right? So it could be that Rav Moshe, who gives shiurim, he's working through Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, you're right. So it's a far-flung possibility. It looks like a cold to you, but maybe it's some rare type of malaria that came from who knows where. Maybe it's... Right? You don't know. It looks like a cold, but it's a far-flung possibility, Mechal Shabbos. Tzitz Eliezer is Lishitaso. That's why Dr. Apfel framed it. Dr. Apfel then began his second shiur based on a question that someone asked to discuss the shaila of whether Mechal Shabbos for Einon B'nei Bris. And this is, of course, a very hot topic because there's a certain fellow, Noah Feldman, who wrote the article in the New York Times, and of course gave like every modern Orthodox rabbi at least 3 weeks of speaking time. There's a lot to say about this. So, can we be Mechal Shabbos for Einon B'nei Bris? Now, Lamaisa, generally, the Gemara says that you can't. It's pretty posh that you can't be Mechal Shabbos for Einon B'nei Bris. The Gemara says that for us who are Shomer Shabbos, we're Mechal Shabbos. For them who are not Shomer Shabbos, we're not Mechal Shabbos. It seems to be a pretty open and shut case. However, there is a little bit of wiggle room. Now, usually the way they phrase the wiggle room is based on the principle of Ava. Ava means that you're worried about bad blood. You're worried about people not trusting you. You're worried about people being upset at you. Yeah, but Ava won't really help over here. Because Ava only helps bepashtes v'isurim derabanan. You can't use Ava. Taisus says a few places in Avodah Zarah, can't use Ava for isurim da'iraisa. So what's the heter? Their heter has to be that there's a very serious chashash of pikuach nefesh. In other words, in a world of mass communication, if word would get out that Orthodox Jews are not Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of Einon B'nei Bris, so what would emerge is that, you know, the next time an Orthodox Jew is going to be in an ambulance or will make a call for an ambulance, so you have to be concerned that maybe the ambulance driver read the newspaper article and said, hey, why should I rush to save this guy? He won't do it for me. So there's a very, very serious concern, either a concern of a pogrom, a concern of some uprising against Jews, or a concern of not treating Jews well, which has happened. So that's why we're Mechal Shabbos, based on this serious chash, of Pekuach Nefesh. Now the Mishnah Brura Lamaisan, Simon Shin Lamed Sifkot Nehei, the Mishnah Brura says that doctors who are Mechal Shabbos for Einam B'nei Bris are, in his words, Mechal Shabbos Gemurim Hashem Yishmurim. May God should protect these Mechallel Shabbos. He writes in the note over there, or the censor wrote in the note, that we're of course dealing with those people in Mechallel Shabbos in India. All the Jewish doctors in India where the Einam B'nai Bris are really Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Yeah, the Pashtus is that's a comment to the censor. However, there is room to argue, and their Me'iri says this, the Me'iri writes, that for Umos HaGedurim B'darchei Hadassos, that in fact we are Mechallel Shabbos for them. The Me'iri relaxes many, right, most Rishonim, and this is of course famous from Moshe Halbertal's book about the Me'iri, that he points out that most Rishonim have like a piecemeal approach to dealing with all of Maseches Avodah Zarah, at least the first two prakim of Avodah Zarah. It's not Nogei Elamaisa. All these things, you can't do business with Goyim. If you do business with Goyim, it becomes us, it doesn't become us, or all these things are not Nogei Elamaisa. So Taisus has a piecemeal approach. In this case, we'll deal with this way, this case, this way. They machavek with all the dinim. However, the Me'iri has one approach. He says, well, all those dinim in the Maseches Avodah Zarah are written for people who do not have any religion. But Umos HaGedurim B'darchei Hadassos, men of religion, who are bounded by certain moral laws, these people, so the restrictions in the first pack of Avodah Zarah don't apply to them. But the Miri goes further. The Miri writes Maseches Yuma, you can even be Mechallel Shabbos for his new category of Umos HaGedurim B'darchei Hadassos. And Halbertal, in that article, which originally was published in the Eidah Journal and then became his book, I think it's called, Bein Chochmah or something, Halbertal's book. So in Halbertal's book, he really spends a lot of time working on this Me'iri. Okay, so we have this approach that maybe we can be Mechallel Shabbos for Umos HaGedurim B'darchei Hadassos, saying that they're not only they're not over the Avodah Zarah, but they actually qualify. La halacha, this is very difficult. This Me'iri was known. It's called by the Shita Mekubetzos, which is printed on the side of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, on Daf Lamed Ches, I believe. It was a known Me'iri. And afilu hachi, the poskim didn't really deal with it. In fact, the Bir Halacha right over here in Simen Shin Lamed, Sifhei, being a Simen Shin Lamed, the Bir Halacha says that we're not Mechallel Shabbos even for Yishma'elim. The Yishma'elim and Halacha are not treated as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But afilu hachi, we're not Mechallel Shabbos for them. So this is really, really, very difficult. It's very difficult. There is another, even more difficult approach based on the Ramban and his understanding of Ger Toshav, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz. In his Tshuvas takes this approach. It's a very difficult read of the Ramban. The Pashtus says it's not true. It's very hard. It's very hard to come up with a clear heter to be Mechallel Shabbos, other than saying that's considered Sakana L'Rabim. The famous story that I like to say about this is Dr. David Berger once told this at an Orthodox forum. And one, you know, Professor Shaul Lieberman, Zecharon Levracha, used to walk home on Shabbosos with one of the professors from across the street from Union Theological Seminary. And the professor from Union Theological Seminary was an intelligent man, the Odeya Sefer, and he said, Professor Lieberman, if I would fall down now and I would, you know, need you to be Mechallel Shabbos in order to save my life, would you do it? That was the question he asked him point blank. So Professor Lieberman said, yes. Okay. Right, saved by the bell. So then the professor from Union turned to Professor Lieberman, turned to Rav Shaul Lieberman, and he says, are you saying that as a matter of principle? Or are you saying that Mishum Eva? Alamda. So Professor Lieberman said, I'm saying as a matter of principle. Then we got home, apparently he told his wife, Das Eichet habe ich gesagt,
Mishum Eva. Right. Yeah, even as a matter of principle, you would say that.
So that's the basic yisod that we have. L'maisa Mishum Eva isn't the heter. L'maisa the heter is that you might come to some pikuach nefesh for many, many people. There is another heter, though, that's worth noting, and that is Chacham Avadi Yosef has the following heter. Chacham Avadi says, listen, why does a doctor take a call on Shabbos? A doctor takes a call on Shabbos because he knows if he's not going to take the call, so people won't hire him as a doctor anymore. So, basically, the reason he is doing this job on Shabbos is in order not to lose his parnasa. So that is really, he's not being Mechallel Shabbos for the sake of the Eino Ben Bris, who's laying there on the floor, he is being Mechal Shabbos for his own sake, for the sake of his own Parnasa. So therefore it's a Malacha She'in Sricha L'Gufa. And because it's a Malacha She'in Sricha L'Gufa, he's not doing it for the normal purpose. So Mamela, it's only Aser Midrabanan. And then by Yisur Midrabanan, he can be Mekom Mishum Eva. Interesting approach. Very difficult, no?
Like
very difficult approach. Like, since when does my kavana completely change? I'm doing the malacha the normal way it's always done, but I have in mind, right? That's one thing.
Since when does violating Shabbos to work ever overcome all the Gemaras and yeah.
If I'm violating Shabbos to work, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, right? You can't say this, right? It creates too many problems.
Yeah. And also, in fact, it would even be a problem to actually think that, presumably. For most doctors, they sitting people's lives because that's what they want to do, not because it's a good way to make money.
And Nochanali, right? Rav Schefter, in fact, has a piece in his Sefer where he, in the Ikvei Hatzon, where he discusses that when you machal al Shabbos for an Eino Ben Bris, so your kavona really has to be for Hatzola of yourself. If your kavona is not for Hatzalah of yourself, if your kavona is for any other thing, including, I think, you mentioned, for earning money, so that would be a problem. Now, Dr. Apfel, after he went through this little halachic sidebar about being Mechal Shas Eino Ben Bris, he went into some of the hashkafa on the question. There's some interesting makoros in the packet about the hashkafa, but we'll skip them now because this is our review of contemporary halacha. Right. The question that Dr. Apfel then returned to at the end of the shiur is the question he left off with at the end of his first shiur, which is what he calls the green tea question. Right? The shaila goes something like this. A woman who was suffering from a very serious case of cancer read somewhere in some quacky website that if you drink a lot of green tea, so then it will slow the development of the cancer. So this woman wanted to know, is she allowed to make green tea on Shabbos, right, with an Isser D'Oraisa of making tea, let's assume. I don't know why you can't do it in the cliche and the klishlishi, but, okay, let's assume it has to be an Isser D'Oraisa. Are you allowed to do this to be Mechal al Shabbos? This is really a shaila that's called Isuva Miyas V'Daitei. Right? In other words, to be Mechal al Shabbos, to make someone's das more at ease, to relax them, is that permitted? I actually heard a shayla from a certain Rav, or one of the Rebbeim in BMP, told me a shayla might be a better example of a suva miyas v'daitei, a woman who is a very, very serious, I forgot which psychological disease she had, but her therapist told her that she has to engage in, like, relaxing activities, and the relaxing activity she engages in, get this one, she has in her living room a loom. And she weaves all the time, and this is what relaxes her.
Anxiety?
Yeah. A serious case of anxiety that she's suicidal. I mean, this is a very serious case, and the thing that relaxes her is the loom. So she weaves. Now, do you know how many Yisurim D'Oraisa? We don't think about this. Maisa Oireg. You know how many possible Yisurim D'Oraisa you can buy it? I mean, you think Osa Shtei Batei Nir never comes up. If Mamish came up in this Shaila, right? That is a real Shaila that someone asked me last year. A different Rebbe, he was telling me that he got this Shaila. Like, whoa. Right? So that's kind of, to a certain extent, this is Shaz Amisuvim Yasodaita. Can you be Mechal Shabbos just to put a chola at ease? And what emerges is that there seems to be a contradiction in Mekoros. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says that we are miyaldin es ha'isha u'mechalalan ala hasa Shabbos. Right? A woman in childbirth, give birth to the baby, no problem, and you mechal al Shabbos. Frek the Gemara, why do you need to say both? Zak the Gemara, well, what we're talking about is lighting a light for the woman when she's in childbirth. And even if this woman is a suma, she's a blind woman, we're lighting the light because it's misuva miyas v'daitei. It relaxes her. That's the lashon of the Gemara, misuva miyas v'daitei. Taisvis over there points out that obviously what we're worried about is that the pachad that this woman would have might potentially kill her. She's worried that you're not treating her properly, that the doctors aren't doing anything right because they can't see. So that pachad could kill her. So Yisuvim Yasvedaite L'Machal Shabbos. There are other times, however, that we don't relax certain Yisurim. A Shchiv Mera. The guy's on his deathbed. He's in the throes of death. So he wants to give a get to his wife. So we relax certain Yisurim, right? We relax the Isser of being Makna, the Get on Shabbos. We don't relax the Isser, Dr. Rashi, of handing her the Get on Shabbos. But you have to come up with this complicated case of being Makna the Chutz with the Get, same time. Woo! Very, very hard Gemara. But we don't. Why don't we just hand her the Get? Teretz is, the Get is Muksa. So he's Dr. Rashi. Right? That means that we're not going to relax the Isser of Muksa, even though there is some Yisuvim Yasudaiti. Now, it says in Shulchan Aruch that if a person is a shchivim, right, in the throes of death, and he wants his relatives to come to be near him, so ayidei akum, you're allowed to call the relatives, which means that for Yisuvim Miyasadeite, we're going to do an Isser Dirabbanan. So that's really our stira. Right? By the shchiv mira, we don't relax da'iraisas for Yisuvim Miyasadeite. What? I didn't write it down. I didn't actually look this up. I did not write it down. I'll find a few after. So by Yishchiv Meirah, we do not relax the Isser Do'iraisa B'chalal. We only relax Yisurim D'Rabbanon V'Amir Al Nachri. We don't even relax an Isser D'Rabbanon Ayyidei Yisrael of Tilta Muksa. And yet, Yisuvah Miyazva Daite, we're going to relax the Isser of lighting a fire for this Yoledes. Right, it's dacha grubba stira. Right, it's a big fat stira. So we have to try to answer this stira. The tshuvos of the Tzitz Eliezer. Where am I up to? The Tzitz Eliezer chelcha simin tesvav is miyashiv the stira. Right, the Tzitz Eliezer says, well, if the isur from miyashiv daite is about the refuah itself. If the chola is nervous that you're not treating the chola properly, so b'kahai gavna do'iraisos, chik-chak boom. But if the yisuvah miyasva daite is not about the refua, it's about some other thing. He wants his relatives to come. He knows very well the relatives coming is not going to make him healthier or more sick. Well, maybe more sick, depending on the same relatives. We probably won't want them at that point. Right? The relatives coming is not going to make him better. Right, giving the get to the wife will have no effect on the illness per se. So in that situation, we are not mekal on the do'iraisa for yisuvah miyasadaite. Only if it's affecting the actual refuah. That's why the Tzitz Eliezer is miyashev the stira. In Rabbi Jachter's book that Dr. Epfel quoted, he has the Maror Mokom in here. So Rav Shach has a chiddush, he's meiko on Yisuvah Miyasadaite, even for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, in the case of a woman who goes to the hospital, and the hospital says, you're not so sick, go home. Now, the woman of my sister was a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. So Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, right, you can be meiko on the Amir Olanachi, so the guy could drive him home. Can someone go with them? Rav Moshe is a famous kula that you could go with your wife on, to the hospital. Can you go back? He go back. She's a chol she'ein bo sakana l'chalapachos. He go back. So Rav Shechter is quoted over there saying that you can be meiko. The case happened to have been that there was no iser of tchum. B'seder.
Rabbi Jachter said it was meiko, or Rav Shechter said it was meiko to go back.
Rav Moshe is meiko to go there. Rav Shechter is meiko to go back by a chol she'ein bo sakana ayde amir l'nachri. Again, the shayla really comes up. Just a technical question. Dr. Apfel mentioned this in the shiur. I'm not really sure if he's correct. Dr. Apfel mentioned that in a car, the extra weight does not add any havara. However, in an elevator, he said the extra weight does. My impression is that this is not correct. Rabbi Breud wrote an article in the RJJ Journal probably 15 years ago already, where he showed that, in fact, today the way elevators all operate is based on a counterweight, which means that every elevator has a opposite weight that is going to far exceed the amount of people in the elevator. So every extra person in the elevator is really not making the motor work any harder.
Going down, I think it does.
Going down, going up also. I don't think this.
I think going down, it does matter.
going down, it does matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's just for the extra weight in terms of the gravity.
Yeah, so my impression is that with the counterweights, that's not true. I think that's what Rabbi Berg wanted to show, the way the newer elevators work. These newer elevators, 15 years ago, is that it's all...
So then would it matter when your elevator was made?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of buildings and...
Maybe.
I don't know how many hospitals have really outdated elevators, but certainly it's like apartment buildings.
And then you get another shilas in terms of whether doing a malacha, either your weight is considered doing a malacha. I mean, that could be a lumdisha question. So that same question really does apply to the cars the same way, but the cars also, I think all the cars are built that they can handle a certain amount of weight without really increasing the amount of gas. Is that true?
EPA website.
So he said, Rabbi Jackson said that it does not increase the amount of gas in the car, and in the elevator it does. If anything, it might be fakir, that by an elevator it doesn't increase, that the weight doesn't increase the power, by a car it does. There's a lot of literature on this question. Maybe we should look into it at some point. I don't know. Okay, so lemaisa. Once a woman is a yoledes, once she's in the process of giving birth, she becomes a cholashish basakon. And the halacha is a cholashish basakon, is that you do everything, and you even anticipate her needs. Which means, like, you can say, well, it's very hard to anticipate the needs of a woman in the throes of labor. Right, so anticipating the needs, like you could say, should we turn on the air conditioner for you? Should we make tea, etc.? All these things, and like the regular din of kol hashish bozakana that come up in Shulchan Aruch, and whether we try to be mema'it in the malacha, which is the standard psak of Ashkenazim, that we try to be mema'it in the malacha anyway, but that is the basic halacha. Now, Ashkenazim try to be mema'it. Ashkenazim, Ashkenazim b'derech kol assume that pekuach nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya, not hutra. What?
The chapter also.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's the standard. Everyone has a chapter. This is the big topic, that pekuach nefesh. The Wagen Avram writes that a Rav has to hanishal harez ha-shefech damim, that if you get asked the shayla, you're a shefech damim, that the job of a Rav is the first year that you give. When you take over a community, you have to speak about pekuach nefesh on Shabbos. Because... And the Shah raises Shofech Dam. The Rav is responsible for not discussing it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as saying, just in the context of Yoledes, and this is the last thing that we'll talk about from Rabbi Apfel's shir, that you do not have to do a Maisa to prevent Chilal Shabbos. Let me say it like this. I can do what I normally do, stay the course, and if I end up in a Chilul Shabbos situation, that's okay, then I'll deal with it. Right? I'm not supposed to go into a situation where I could end up being in a Chilul Shabbos situation. But I'm allowed to stay the course. Very l'may nafkamin. And nafkamin is like this. A woman who knows she might go into labor, she mechuyev to spend Shabbos near the hospital. So the Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Shulchan Shlomo, is quoted saying that she doesn't have to. Why not? Because you don't have to do a ma'isa to prevent Chilul Shabbos. You could stay the course. Do what you'd normally do on Shabbos. Adkan. So this takes us to the end of Dr. Apfel's shir. Then we had a segment in the course that we called Contemporary Questions. It began with Rabbi Brander's shir about issues of community and synagogue building. Basically, Rabbi Brander... I went down to Boca at one point before Rabbi Brander came here to Yeshiva, and I saw what he had, and the show was really an amazing thing. Rabbi Brander had different minyanim for every type of thing that you want. You want to have in Karlbach, Gewaldic, you want to have like a Shtiebel-type minyan, Gewaldic. Like the show was really a diverse group of people with different or halachic options for how to experience tefillah. And Rabbi Brander, in this shir, really mentioned what motivated him for that, which is that a Beis Knesset is supposed to be a Mikdash Ma'at. It's modeled after the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash also had what he calls multiple portals of entry. And there are different sha'arim to come into the Beis HaMikdash. And Beis Knesset also, we should have different sha'arim. There should be a Shar of Torah, and a Shar of Tefillah, and a Shar of Music, and a Shar of Children's Programming. The job of a shul is really to model the base HaMikdash in that sort of way. He also, in the in that quick shir that he gave, he spoke about the difference that the Rav draws between Eidah and Machaneh, that Machaneh is something that's common to even animals. Machaneh is defensive. Eidah is a specifically human idea, and Eidah is that our common destiny is what unites us. And obviously the goal is to be an Eidah, not a Machaneh. And the last thing that he discussed in the Shir is the Shaila that I think we've spoken about in the past in terms of inviting non-observant Jews to your home to experience a Shabbos. This is potentially an Isser of Lifnei Iver because they're going to drive. On the other hand, you know, you want them to experience Shabbos so that they can, right, that everyone knows that the only reason to become firm is that you taste Chalant, right? So this is the tension that we have. Different poskim have different approaches. Rav Moshe Sternbach has an approach that the Isser of Lifnei Iver Osite Michshol is to give a Michshol over. There's actually a Mishnah Lamech has in a few places. Something can't be defined as a Michshol. You're not making the person stumble. You're doing it so Adarabba, they should be elevated. Matovu Manoim. That's what Moshe Sternbach says. Other people have the argument that, listen, the Isser Dereis of Lifnei Iver is only Trei Avad Nahara. If it's Chad Avad Nahara, right? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Navav, says Chad Avad Nahara, if I have a Nazir and he can get the wine himself, so it's only Nisid Drabban Chad Avad Nahara. And there's a famous comment of the Dago Meravava, understanding a Shach, that if the person is a Mummer, or someone who would be violating the Isser B'mezid, so the Isser Drabban Chad Avad Nahara doesn't apply. A person who'd be driving anyway, the chayra, right? Again, we're not saying that they're a mummer, but they'd be violating the Isser anyway, the chayra. So one could make the case, right? And even if you tell them about Shabbos, they won't listen to you because they don't understand that it's part of a whole system of Torah. You can't just throw Shabbos on somebody. You have to first introduce them to the system. So it could be it's going to be only an Isser D'Rabbanan. And if it's only Chad Avad Nahara, perhaps there's room to be Mekel based on the Dago Meravava. Most poskim, I think, aren't Mekel straight up based on the Dago Meravava.
What is the Chad Avad Nahara going to be?
The Chad Avad Nahara.
Just saying they would do it anyway?
In other words, I'm not giving you an opportunity to do an Isser that you couldn't do otherwise. You could drive without me. Well, you would drive without me. I'm not supplying you, right? Trei Avad Nahara is that I give you the Aveira, the Chepta Aveira, and you couldn't do it without me.
Or wouldn't do it without me.
Wouldn't do it.
A Chareva can also be where you motivate the person.
Okay.
Right.
If you motivate, but over here, the assumption is the person would be driving. If he's not going to drive to you, he'd be driving to the movies. Now, L'Rav Chodemusi, you should offer the person a place to stay over in the home. If he drives back anyway, he doesn't take you up on your offer, so what can you do? Fine. So that basically is Rabbi Brander's brief shiur about community building. Dr. Levine gave an interesting shiur about the what was halachic perspectives on the economic meltdown. Okay, let's try to do this sensibly. Basically, there is a book that came out recently by Robert Schiller, and Dr. Levine argued against him in an article in the most recent issue of the American Economist. Robert Schiller writes that this current recession is social contagion. Dr. Levine gave a shiur to prove that Robert Schiller is wrong. We are not dealing with social contagion. It's not that people got caught up, that there was like a ruach shtus, a mishagas, that entered the whole world. Rather, it is a moral failure. That's the argument of the shiur. And it's a moral failure based on a few halachic guidelines, a few halachic points. So let's go through each group who was somewhat guilty causing us to enter this recession, which hopefully we're beginning to leave, but each group that was guilty for getting us to enter the recession. And let's analyze what are some of the moral failures and halachic failures that they violated. Now, the recession really began because of a collapse of the mortgage market. Now, what happened was people were taking out mortgages on their homes, right? And they couldn't really afford to pay the mortgages. But they were getting great mortgage deals. They were getting these 2.28 deals, which means the first 2 years, your rate is locked in at a very low interest rate. It's like a teaser rate. People think, hey, you know what? Maybe 2 years from now, I'm going to have a new job. And even if I don't have a new job, the home value of this home that I just bought will go up so much, I can get a home equity loan based on the accrued value of my house, right? The increase in my home value, and I'll for sure be able to pay up based on that, no problem. In essence, the borrowers should have not taken out these loans, because they should know that if you can't pay up, don't take the loan. The Gemara says, right, Hein Sedek means Shiyahei Hin Shochot. Sedek, when you say yes, when you say I'll pay back, it's gotta be a real yes. The Hin Shochot Sedek, Lav Shochot Sedek, obviously the borrowers violated that. Tosis in Beitza asks...
That's this passage.
Tosis in Beitza asks Astira, also another thing that the borrowers did wrong. The Gemara tells us that with respect to Tzarchei Shabbos and Yontif, Levu Alai Vani Pireya, right? That usually you're not supposed to take loans, but for Tzarchei Shabbos and Yontif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, borrow and God will pay up. Frech Taisvis, what do you mean I'm supposed to borrow money? Don't we know, Asei Shabbat Kochol Atit Tzarech Lebrios? Don't you know that you're not supposed to borrow money in order to make Shabbos, right? If you have a choice between eating a tuna fish on Shabbos, eating, right, only two meals on Shabbos and not Shalosh Shuris, right, eating a regular weekday meal, do that and don't take loans. That's Taisvis's question. So Zuck Taisvis, when we say Levu Alai Vani Poreya, we're talking about a person, and the way the on the side of the Gemara they explain the Taisvis is a person who really has the wherewithal to pay up. He has the money. The only thing is, his money isn't accessible to him now. He has mashkonos. His money is tied up. It's not liquid. So such a person, we say, Levu Alai Vani Pireya, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, then you're allowed to take the loan. But short of that, it's usur to take loans. You're not allowed to borrow money if you can't pay back. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if I have loans out, I'm not allowed to make extravagant expenditures. I can't spend a lot of money. If I owe chovos to people, right, this is something that tuition committees in yeshivas scream about all the time. People aren't paying full tuition and they're going to Honolulu for Pesach. Right? You shouldn't do that, obviously. Right? And these are all isurim that the borrowers were in violation of. Now, the lenders were in violation of a number of isurim. First of all, Lifnei Iver. They're giving really bad advice. They're telling people that, you know what, I want you to take this loan, it's good for you. Why is it good for you? Look at this rate I'm giving you. Mamish, 0%. Right? Who's going to argue? Yeah, but 0% for the first year. And then it goes up to 9,000,000%. Right? So that is an iser of Lifnei Iver. It says in Shulchan Aruch, when I sell a horse, I have to fully disclose every mum the horse has. If I'm selling you a product, right, or I'm selling you a mortgage, so to speak, and I don't fully disclose it, these are isurim of Geneva Das.
Was he suggesting that there was that full disclosure about the rates for the loans?
I don't think they were disclosing to people how serious a risk there was.
So this is the second iser?
Right, it's a second iser. There's Lifnei Iver and there's Geneva Das. Remember, they had these types of loans that were called like ninja loans, right? No income, no job. Who cares? What's so bad, right? The father, give you a loan. Countrywide was famous in giving what was called no documentation loans, no doc loans, right? They take a picture of you standing in front of a house, and mistoma, that means you have the house, and mistoma, that means you have money, therefore we'll give you a loan, right? So these things are serious isurim. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed, also l'halvos shelo be'edim, a malva, I'm not allowed to lend you money if there won't be Edim on the loan. Why not? Because I can't lend you money in a situation that you are very likely to deny it. A situation that you're very likely not to be able to pay it up. A situation that you're very likely not to pay up the way you should. So if you know that I really can't afford it, it's also for you to lend money to me. That's another issur that the brokers were involved in. Now, what happened in the credit market over here is we didn't deal with standard mortgages. All the mortgages, like mortgage broker out in Nebraska gives some guy a mortgage, Gewaldig. Then what they did is they take all these mortgages and they aggregate them. They put them together into one whole block. And then they take these mortgages together as one whole block and they are sold to someone else. And then they securitize them, so they make them into bonds, and then we get lost in the process. Then it's already very complicated. We don't know exactly what's happening, but people are doing business with these mortgages, and there's a whole market of these secondary swap defaults. Right? People don't really understand what these instruments are. I certainly don't. And these things are really Tola Eretz Ablima. These are really all based on the original loans to this balabus in Nebraska who really couldn't afford that loan. And there are millions of these, and these are put together. Now, a lot of people played what Rabbi Levine called pernicious roles. The appraisers over-exaggerated the home values. The reason they did this is because the broker himself usually wouldn't want the home value to be so exaggerated, but in this case, the broker did, because the broker knew that right after he makes the loan and right after the mortgage exists, he's just going to package it to sell it to someone else. And he'd rather sell a more expensive asset than a less expensive asset. So the appraisers are obviously violating every, this is just, there's no yashris over here. It's just all wrong. Income levels were completely inflated. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are still buying the stuff. The credit rating industry is bechlal very guilty over here, because the credit rating industry is taking stuff that's absolute junk. Right? It's all based on the haftacha of some farmer out in Nebraska who can't pay. And they are saying that this is AAA rated bonds. Has the highest rating possible. They themselves are trying to say, well, you know, if it goes down, we also own a chelik of this, and we're also going to lose. And they sold insurance, so this is where AIG comes in. AIG is insuring these loans, which are really garbage. The halacha basically would not allow any of this to happen, because this entire secondary market wouldn't exist in halacha because of the concept of mocher shtachu v'chaver v'chazum v'chalo z'mochol, right? That I wouldn't lend... I can't sell a secondary loan to you because the Shibud HaGuf remains, the way Rabbi Natan understands, the Shibud HaGuf remains by the original lender, and he could still be Meichel, and therefore there would be no secondary market. No one would buy a market of these secondary loans because it just wouldn't happen. The Maisa government could rectify the situation. They should make laws in terms of the type of documentation you need to make loans. The SEC has to start doing stuff. But this is the basic end of Rabbi Levine's shiur. Let's just begin Rav Khan's shiur very quickly for 2 minutes, and then we'll break for Ma'ariv. I think maybe tomorrow we could continue. Guys have time? Would guys want to continue? If not, we don't have to.
Yeah.
So maybe tomorrow noontime we can continue? Is that a bad time for people? Bad time. When's a good time tomorrow?
Tomorrow night an option?
What?
Tomorrow night an option?
Tomorrow night may or may not be an option. I think my wife has to be out late.
It's not as good an option for me, but if...
Sorry, I can... What? Does anyone have any time, like, in the morning tomorrow?
The morning is due.
Any time before, let's say, 2:45.
What time morning?
Any time.
We could do 1:30.
1:30? Who could do 1:30 tomorrow? Okay. So guys want to do 1:30 tomorrow? 1:30?
Yeah.
We'll try 1:30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's 1:30. Yeah. I have a 2:40 meeting, a 2:30 meeting. So we could do like an hour, 1:30 to 2:30. Yeah, we'll be fine.
What time is most recent?
Rav Simon, I've chazered in previous years. Okay, yeah, so we'll do Rav Khan, Rav Schechter, and what else is left? And, oh, Rabbi Weider.
Tasser.
Huh?
Tasser, okay.